Today, we are talking ink and why we make permanent marks on our bodies. But what if a tattoo could also help you to heal, not just physically, but emotionally? For many cancer survivors, ink isn't just art, it's a statement, a symbol, even a form of therapy. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. And I'm here with Adam Daly, a researcher from the Dublin City University who's been exploring the deeply personal world of therapeutic tattooing and how it's helping survivors reclaim their identity after cancer. Adam, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me in. I'm really excited to chat about the bit of research.
Before we get to your own research and your own PhD in this area, I'm sitting across from you now in the News Talk Daily studio. And of course, I can't help but notice the tattoos you have. I can see one on your chest, just about a bat, is it?
It's a Rorschach test. Do you know the ink blots that you look at and it shows you different things?
No, can't say I do, to be honest, but I like it. And what have you got in your arms?
And I have little flowers as well. But my favourite here is I have a heart that I can make pump with my arm. It's pretty nice.
Okay, I'm going to have to take a video of that and put it up on my social media. He has got an ink tattoo of a heart on his arm. And when you move your fist a certain way, it's like heart pumps. It's actually quite cool, I have to say.
By accident as well. It occurred by chance.
Don't tell it.
Oh, yeah. I was chuffed afterwards.
You planned it. Tell me about your own tattoo journey. What drew you to get your body inked?
For me, it's always been like an interest in like things like identity, I suppose. Like coming from secondary school into college, I went to a Dutch school myself. So I didn't really know an awful lot of people going into college. I kind of wanted to reinvent myself a little bit and take on like a new persona or be more confident in things like this. And I think for me, tattooing was a way to kind of cement that a little bit of being like, I look different. I'm someone new, like that type of thing, you know.
Sort of a reimagining of yourself.
Pretty much. I think for me, it was about accepting the change that was happening in terms of my own personality and kind of maturing into adulthood. I know for the sake of the listeners, they can't see, but I have cartoony flowers. And as you get further up there, they get more realistic. So it's kind of, again, that transition into like adulthood and taking on that extra responsibility.
So how many tattoos do you have now?
I got an awful lot.
Do we have time to count them?
I have both my forearms done. I have one arm entirely done. I have my chest, my ribs, my hips and a bit of my legs done.
And what else have you got? I'm not going to ask you to drop your trousers in the studio here and I take a look at your hips.
I have a little thing of flowers here on my leg. And then on my ribs, I have a flower vase with some sunflowers and snowdrops. So very floral. I tried to keep a theme.
Why flowers?
I like the fact that they symbolize different things. Now, I don't really think about that when I'm getting tattooed, but I think especially the type of research that I do and the things that I'm really interested in, I'm interested in how people can take something that's kind of meaningless or like abstract and make it meaningful. Like Einstein and Sagan and other like really famous scientists always talk about this idea that like everyone is a scientist, right? That we're always observing the world and forming these hypotheses. But for me, I think it's more interesting to think about it as like people as magicians or alchemists that are able to make magic of the world that's around them, right? So something like a flower that like you could step on it, you could pick it up. It doesn't necessarily do an awful lot for you. It can take on this meaning of love when you give it to someone, of consolation when someone dies, of holding it to them and being there with them in that moment. And I think for me, that's something that's really human and really beautiful and something that I really appreciate and try to live by to some degree.
And do people ask you about them?
All the time. Yeah, I mean, especially with the research that I do, like it comes up an awful lot. So I always try to have a quick answer ready.
Yeah, people like me who don't have a tattoo, I've never committed to a tattoo, even though I do like them on other people. I am fascinated as to why people get tattoos, why they pick the particular piece of art that they pick and what it means to them. So I would be one of those people who stops somebody in a pub and says, can I just ask you, what is that exactly on your leg? Do you mind showing me?
I mean, so am I. Like, it's such a like a weird thing to do. Like when you think about like the mechanics of it, someone is cutting you or pricking into your skin, potentially like it's a hurtful process.
And it's permanent.
Into your skin. And it's semi-permanent.
Okay.
So the tattoos always fade over time. Now, look, they likely won't entirely fade, but pseudo-permanent, we would say.
in Ireland, there was this study in 2019 which said, I think 35% of the population of Ireland now has a tattoo. And on average, they have two tattoos. And anecdotally, and I say it is just anecdotally, just looking at, you know, the people that I mix with, I would feel like that's on the increase. If we did the survey again in 2025, that would have gone up. And you can see that social media has accelerated the trend. If you spend any time on TikTok, you can see the amount of people talking about their tattoos and their inkings and the reason behind them. But we have been getting tattoos for over 5,000 years. Yeah. I read something over the weekend, 3,350 BC, Otzi, the Iceman, was found in the Otza Alps and he had a cross tattooed onto his body and they thought it had something to do with healing.
Utsi, he's an interesting one. People aren't sure. There's a debate about whether he was getting the tattoos as like acupuncture, as like a type of healing, or as a type of art. Another interesting one would be the Siberian Ice Lady. It was a woman who's buried with horses, but she has massive tattoos of deers and wolves and things like that on her body. So that'd be maybe the first example of like a very decorative tattoo that we'd have.
Okay, let's now look at your particular area of research. What are you studying?
So I'm studying the therapeutic tattooing of cancer survivors and how they navigate that experience and what outcomes they may have if they get them.
Very particular, quite niche.
Yes, well, I would argue that it's not niche. The reason for that is there is actually evidence now that the rates of cancer survivors getting tattooed has increased in the last 15 years. I think the research is only thought of as niche because it hasn't kept up with the potentially the amount of cancer survivors who are getting this treatment.
So why did you become interested in the connection between tattooing and cancer survivorship?
I think it stems from my own personal experience. I know we've talked about my own tattoos and I obviously have a love for them myself, but you know, someone with cancer in my own family, that's certainly something that had a pretty massive role for me growing up and changed the way that I looked at things and so on. So I think for me, bringing together my love of tattoos and this thing that has had a massive impact on my family, it allows me to explore these things that I'm interested in, but then also in like a very real way, try to make some sort of difference in people who might be experiencing what my family went through and try to lend a bit of support in that way.
What exactly is therapeutic tattooing?
We define therapeutic tattoos as tattoos that are gotten specifically for psychological reasons. So that's different from a typical tattoo. A typical tattoo, I might get a dog or something like that tattooed because I think a dog is really cool. And although I might feel like I look cooler or maybe my body image increases because of that, I've got it because it looks cool. I've gotten it for the artwork. And that's obviously a very different experience. Maybe a cancer survivor who gets a ribbon tattooed as a symbol of survivorship and taking on that identity, or someone who gets a nipple areola complex tattooed to get their breast back after something like a mastectomy.
So it could be reconstructive, it could be symbolic.
Yeah, so we have a typology that we have published. So the tattoos can either be medical or non-medical. So on scarred or compromised skin or on non-scarred or uncompromised skin. The reason why that's important is that different tattooing techniques actually have to be used because scarred skin holds ink differently. And then in terms of the design, they can be decorative or reconstructive. So creating or adding a new symbol or image to the body or recreating or reconstructing an image or symbol that's been damaged or lost.
And you've spoken as part of your research to a wide range of cancer survivors. What do these tattoos mean to them?
I think it's a tricky thing to answer because they're very, very individual. I think the best way to explain it is that if you imagine our bodies as like picture books, right? They're always communicating something. They're telling a story, right? And they're communicating something to you and something to me. So for an example, I have a scar just on my eyebrow. When I was younger, I ran, banged my head off a toilet. So that communicates to me like this fun childhood memory and maybe to you that I need to look out where I'm going. And in that way, like something so discreet as a small scar that you can't really see holds that meaning to me and tells that story. So for these cancer survivors, really, this is an opportunity for them to take hold of that picture book and turn the page. And not only do that, but decide what image is on the next page, what comes after the cancer, what they want their journey to look like.
Because I presume for a lot of people who've gone through cancer treatment, whether it's radiation, whether it's chemotherapy, whether it's a mastectomy, the body after the treatment is different to the body they had before.
It is. So with something like chemotherapy, you can often have port scarring just around the clavicle on your chest. With radiation therapy, sometimes they'll actually use tattoos to mark the body to align the radiation machine that someone is left with. And then for mastectomies, I mean, obviously they're losing a part of their body, but they're also left with scars, discolored skin. The list really goes on in terms of the physical impacts of cancer and treatment.
And what impact is it having on people when they get these tattoos? What are the survivors saying to you about how they feel about their body post-treatment and then how they feel once they get this tattoo?
Yeah, I think it's definitely difficult. Like evidence has shown time and time again that like this reduced sense of body image, this sense of weakness, of struggling with identity. I mean, especially for someone living with cancer, for that period, their life really does become about it. It becomes about surviving. It becomes about the struggle to some degree, right? And it can be difficult trying to move on from that when every time you look in the mirror, that's what you're seeing, right? That's what you're seeing, the scar. You're seeing the impact that this thing has had on you. And these are things that you don't have control over, right? You didn't decide that you want a massive scar across your chest or anything like that, right? So I think these tattoos give them an opportunity to renegotiate the narratives and stories around their bodies. So what I hear all the time is this idea of like brimming with confidence, being proud of their body. I mean, the amount of times I've heard women talk about always walking around topless after they get their tattoo because they want to show it off. It's a point of pride in their body now as opposed to something to be ashamed of.
So it's not to do with beauty or vanity, or maybe it is, but primarily it's not to do with beauty or vanity.
I think the beauty of it is that it can be. It can be absolutely anything. I mean, you can get this lovely floral tattoo that beautifies your body and curves around your scars or maybe covers them and looks gorgeous. And maybe that the beauty of that and the aesthetic of it is really valuable to you. Whereas another cancer survivor that I work with who actually advises on my PhD project has a gun on her stomach shooting at where her cancer is. I think it's a beautiful tattoo, but objectively that's cool, it's powerful, it's strong, and that's a very different takeaway that she's after having from that.
And what impact did that have on her?
I think for her is about reclaiming her sense of identity, of not only being like I've beaten cancer, but I've shot it to bits. I've completely destroyed it.
So it's kind of control, because I presume you're going through treatment, you don't feel like you've got a whole lot of control of your body.
And that's exactly it. And I mean, when you're going through treatment, oftentimes information can be an issue as well. Like, yes, you're going through chemo and, you know, you're told what that is, but maybe you lack an understanding of what's really going on, because unless you have a medical degree, it can be really difficult to understand sometimes. So you're going through these treatments that you kind of have to go through. You don't have any control over it. You don't really know what's happening. And you come out the other end and you're just left with the after effects of it. And I think a tattoo in this case is something that a cancer survivor has entire control over. I mean, if you imagine, say, a plastic surgery or reconstructive surgery, that's the work of a plastic surgeon, right? That's something that someone else is doing. And although, yes, a tattoo artist is doing the tattoo, you're creating the design. You know, you're the one who's deciding what's going to cover your body or what's going to be on your body.
You're working within the Department of Psychology.
I am, yeah.
So what is the psychology and the science to back this up?
So the thing is that we don't know. And that's a really concerning but interesting part of this research.
Hence the PhD, hence the
Exactly. There is evidence that it works. Current evidence suggests that patients are satisfied after receiving the tattoos. There's issues with that because satisfaction doesn't give us a massive insight into the type of outcome or type of psychological experience they're actually having. My own research that's been published has identified that body image, sense of identity, feeling at home in oneself, all these things are outcomes associated with these tattoos. Sexual satisfaction is something that comes up as well associated with these tattoos. But what's actually happening, we don't know. So there's a really interesting study around radiation therapy tattoos where some members of the population in the study hated them. They thought that they were branded or marked by their cancer and that it would always be a reminder of what they'd gone through. And the other participants were chuffed with it. They were delighted. They thought it was a symbol of getting better, of stepping forward in this journey and all this brilliant, brilliant stuff. And we don't know why people have these different reactions and interpret them differently.
Can you tell me a bit more about the tattoos that you have seen that people have received after going through their cancer treatment?
The classic is a nipple areola complex tattoo. So that's a tattoo that mimics a nipple. So typically people will either get what's called a 3D tattoo, where it's 2D, but it looks 3D because of how it's been drawn dimensionally. Or they get a nipple reconstruction, which is done with skin, and then that's tattooed over to add colour. Then there's the more decorative pieces. So a guy with brain cancer who had a scar across the side of his head who got a zipper revealing part of his brain with the tattoo, which is quite a funny one. There's dragons, there's flowers, there's eye roll emojis, there's hearts, there's ribbons, there's dogs, there's bicycles. It can really be anything. And I think when you consider what's happening about distilling not only who you are and what you've gone through, but really who you want to become, what you want to continue living as, the personal aspect of this can really change the types of designs that are done.
I am presuming that you would like to see this offered as part of the post-cancer care in Ireland.
I think it already is. Like, cancer survivors are getting tattooed in Ireland. It is offered in St. James, for example, in Dublin. They do a micropigmentation service. Micropigmentation is just another term for tattoo.
And is that generally reconstructive?
Yes, reconstructive, yeah. In that way, it is a part of the care in Ireland and abroad. My thought on it is, first, we need to know more. For example, it's been shown that when these tattoos are done improperly, it can lead to really negative outcomes. So, for example, when a nipple areola complex tattoo specifically isn't done right, you're left with a red circle on your breast. And you can imagine for someone who has already gone through a traumatic experience, already lost a part of their body and then tried to get it back and that hasn't worked out, it's taking on a second trauma. I mean, there's accounts of women who can't bathe without their clothes on, can't look at themselves in the mirror because of an experience like that. As well, when the ink isn't done properly, when the medical tattooing techniques aren't used efficiently, the ink fades very quickly on scarred skin. And there is evidence that that then leads to dissatisfaction with the tattoos.
Okay, so it's really, really important, given what these people have experienced, that it is done properly.
That's 100% it. So I think there needs to be more standards and guidelines regarding the practice by both healthcare providers, because doctors and nurses do these tattoos as well.
And you've said as part of your findings that they highlight that we should be empowering cancer survivors to make informed decisions about what happens to their bodies after treatment instead of spreading stigmatized misinformation. What do you mean by that?
So oftentimes there is a stigma associated with cancer. I mean, it's hopefully something that we're moving past as a society, I would hope. But I mean, the classic association of tattoos with gangs and criminality, and I can promise I'm neither in a gang or a criminal.
You don't give me that bang after. To be honest with you.
You can't see me, but I don't look it. There's that association. I know, for an example, one tattoo artist who worked in Russia found that clients were only getting nipple areola complex tattoos because they're not seen as tattoos. And it's why this other language is typically used when referring to medical reconstructive tattoos. They're not tattoos. It's micropigmentation or dermopigmentation or semi-permanent makeup or a million other words, because it's not seen as a tattoo. Because that helps people adjust to it. It helps people live with it. Because I'm not tattooed, I'm reconstructed. And I just think it's unfortunate for cancer survivors' decisions to be limited by that type of thing.
Within wider society in Ireland, do you think there is still a bit of a stigma around getting and wearing a tattoo?
I think a little bit. I mean, I certainly haven't experienced that myself. If anything, my tattoos have been this really fantastic way to connect with people. The first thing you ask me when we sat down is, right, what the tattoos mean? And that gives us a chance to have a conversation and for you to know a little bit about me. And if you had tattoos yourself, I would have asked back. You said yourself, you go up to people in bars maybe and ask about the tattoos.
That's just me. I'm just one of those nosy people. And no regrets. I mean, do people ever look back and think, wish I hadn't got that, wish I hadn't chosen that?
So there are regrets associated with the tattoos as well. Definitely less so than the positives. Other research has identified that when someone gets, say, a decorative tattoo, but the meaning associated with that changes over time, that can lead to regret. Or maybe you get a cancer ribbon and 20, 30 years down the road, you no longer want that to be a part of who you are, right? And that can be tricky too. But I suppose in those cases, you know, there are always cover-ups available and laser treatments and things like that.
There's a lovely line in my notes here today about people who get tattoos after cancer treatment and, I suppose, embracing the idea that this is something permanent. They say it's not about rebellion, it's about restoration.
Yeah, I mean, we see that all the time. Like, that aspect of permanence is certainly important, but it depends on the type of tattoo. So, for example, with a nipple areola complex tattoo, you're getting that because, you know, potentially you want to have your body go back to normal, quote unquote, or you want to look, be able to look in the mirror and not see the scars and things like this, or not see that you're missing a nipple. So in those examples, that permanence is really important because it's not something you want to lose. Like, it's a part of who you are. In another example, some cancer survivors get their eyebrows tattooed, and in those cases, typically they're done in a way where they will fade, so they're semi-permanent or they're impermanent. The reason for that is that they can then re-tattoo the eyebrows to match how the face changes over time, and so it's really valuable in that case that there's not as much permanence. So it really depends.
What's next for the research, Adam? What else would you want to explore?
Well, I'm lucky enough, myself and my supervisors, Drs. Simon Dunn, Johannes Carroll and Professor Pamela Gallagher, were funded through the Deloitte Access PhD scholarship in DC. So we're funded for the next 3 years. So what we're working on right now is a systematic review, which is taking in all of the research and evidence associated with the outcomes of these tattoos. And we're then beginning to work on that study that I mentioned earlier about unpacking the meaning systems associated with it. But towards the later end of the PhD, we're planning on interviewing Irish cancer survivors with tattoos who've been tattooed by both healthcare providers and tattoo artists to see what the differences and experiences are there, and if there are any barriers within the Irish system. And then finally, we'll end off on this broad international study where we'll be recording, hopefully, an awful lot of cancer survivors around the world across multiple time points to see what their experiences are.
Adam Daly from DCU, thank you so much for talking to me on News Talk Daily. That's it for today. It's been great, as always, having your company. You'll find every episode of News Talk Daily on the Go Loud player or wherever you get your podcasts. But until the next time, from me, Hugh Doherty, goodbye.